powerful message, isn't it?
Yes. Amen.
Don't you wish you could get all of America together just one time?
Amen.
Just one time. I wish we could just get all of America together and just sing a song like that. It's hard to think about that ship having sailed, isn't it? All right, let me get into the message for our children that this would be a good time to break out your cotton candy. Like you've still got it. You know, America isn't mountains. America isn't amber waves of grain. It's not fields. It's not little towns. It's not big cities. It's not prosperity. It's not rivers. It's not great monuments. You know, all that. It's not government. America is people. Just like the church is not a building, the church is people, right? We understand that. America is also people. People are, so if America has ever been great, it's because of the people. And we understand that. I in the early days of America, the entire world was watching. I don't really know if our children are still getting the same picture maybe that some of us did in school. I don't know. It's not for me to judge. I don't really know what's happening there. But I know that even we sometimes lose sight of what a remarkable, incredible miracle America is.
Amen.
America was a bunch of colonies, a bunch of farmers with very few weapons, very little organization, very little leadership, and they weren't even really together. It was 13 separate colonies that weren't really connected to each other very well and couldn't agree on everything. And for them to go up against the power of the world, it would be like today. It would be very much like, you know, some small country like Panama thinking that it could take on the United States militarily. I mean, honestly, that's what it was. That's nothing. If you're Panamanian, I apologize. Don't take that as an insult. But I'm just saying, you know, pick any small country. That's Great Britain was the giant. They were the superpower of the world. You could not defeat them if they wanted to fight you. And yet, here we are. That shot heard round the world, it really was heard round the world symbolically because the entire world was watching to see whether or not this experiment was really going to work. And years later, a few years down the road, the French were also a power in the world, not a superpower, but they had an interest in American soil at one time. And so they were trying to figure out years later when America defeated Great Britain and won its independence. That rocked the whole world. That changed everything. But the feeling continued, is this going to last? Is it going to stay this way? Can they sustain this? And not only did the America of that time sustain its freedom, but it actually grew to be the superpower of the world in its infancy. And the whole world was trying to figure out, how did they do this? Because they'd seen nations rise, they'd seen governments rise and fall, but never before had anything like what took place here. Never before had a nation grown out of infancy and immediate, and while still in those throes of infancy, or maybe it's teen years, become the leader in inventions, become the leader in ingenuity, become the leader in every aspect of the world. And so the French sent somebody to America to say, and with the question, what is going on here? What is happening in this place called America? How are they doing this? That man's name was Alexis de Tocqueville. And he wrote a work called Democracy in America. I don't know if you've ever seen it or read it. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before, Alexis de Tocqueville. But I want to introduce you to him because you need to hear what this Frenchman said about America. I need to hear this. I need to be reminded of this. And so let me just share with you an excerpt from his work. So bear with me, that's several slides, but it's not lengthy. I'm going to read right through it, but I want you to see what he said when he came to America. What did he see? What was it that made America so special? Here's what he said. He said, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, but it wasn't there. And in her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, it was already a world leader in commerce. He said, and it was not there. In her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution. Now that right there, you would think, that right there is the key. Because by the way, the Constitution is the second greatest document ever written by man. Period. The Bible is, of course, the first. And the whole world knew that. The whole world was in awe of the Constitution. But it wasn't there. Watch what he said here. He said, not until I went into the churches and I heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. I want you to see what a Frenchman said. He said, he was here a long time. And here's what he said at the end of it all. He said, look, he said, I didn't find it anywhere else. I found it in the churches. He said, America is great. I would commit this to memory if I were you. He said, America is great because she is good. Amen. Let that sink in a minute. The world's asking, why is America great? He said, America is great because she is good. That means her people are good. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Now, is that not a powerful statement?
Amen.
Should that not cause us to step back and say, wow, so this is what somebody who didn't grow up, somebody who was not kind of wowed by the money, wowed by the beauty of our land, all this stuff. He said, no, it was when I went into the churches. When I heard what was being said and preached in churches, I realized this country is great because these people are good. They're following something that is making them good. He talked about righteousness. Now, so basically what he said was the strength of America has been and always will be its virtue. It'll always be how righteous it is. Now, not since the early history of Israel has there ever been a nation that has risen and succeeded solely because of the blessings of God. Please don't miss this. The early days of Israel began as a man in his 90s. His name was Abraham. And Sarah, who was 75, that's how it started. And really, it was really just one family that God began with Israel. But so Israel was a nation that was blessed and that grew solely, not on its military, not on its head start with lots of millionaires, solely because God wanted it to succeed. And when God wants something to succeed, it succeeds.
Amen.
And that was Israel. You know, America started that same way. So not since the days of Israel has a nation been born by God and empowered by God, and its success is devoted solely to that favor of God. You know, there are some nations that have risen, you know, the Empire of Rome, for example, or the Grecians. You know, they had superior military, they had ingenuity in military matters, and yes, they had some success, but you know, that didn't last, did it? Those all fell. Let me tell you what the never before since Israel and now America, as we're talking about that, has this verse ever been more true? Psalm 33 in verse number 12. Here's what God said. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now I want to draw your attention very, very carefully, please, because notice it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In other words, you know, please understand, all nations have gods. Are you with me? Every nation has gods. There are nations that have statues as their gods, such as Nepal. They have statues and buildings as their gods. Every nation has gods. Sometimes it's their current leaders or their previous leaders. Any of the empires, China or North Korea, their god is a current leader or a previous leader. They look to them as their gods. You know, some nations have a military, you know, such as, you know, Germany in the days of Adolf Hitler, their god was military power. Their god was racism. And so every nation has a god, but this verse says, blessed is the nation whose God, in other words, the one they put their trust in, is the Lord. The Lord. I guess I felt like that was more important than you thought it was. Maybe you're just taking everything in. The Lord. You see, Money is some nation's god. It is so vital that we understand that America's success to this point has been because God, the Lord, has been our God.
Amen.
Money wasn't the god of the colonists. Military power wasn't. See, you don't need military power if you have God as your God.
Amen.
They didn't have it. They had muskets against cannons. You know, they didn't have anything. But it's different when God is your God. Every nation that has ever trusted in something else has fallen, but America has not. Now, having said that, that does not mean, though, that the nation of Israel, for example, you know, the nation of Israel was never completely united on that. See, no nation has ever been united on their God. Israel had some people within it that did not want to follow the commandments God gave them, did not want to follow the plan that God gave to them. And so Israel was not 100% united behind God. America clearly today is not 100% united in following God, are we? But here's what is a wonderful thing about our God, the Lord being our God. God has a record of blessing the whole because of the righteousness of a few. God has a record of blessing the whole, blessing the larger, blessing even the majority, if the righteous remnant will stay righteous. Let me give you some examples. You know, God saved the human race because one man was found to be righteous, the man Noah. God saved the human race. God preserved the human race through Noah because one man was righteous before God. God, Job's friends, if you remember the story of Job, toward the end, his friends had angered God, and God said, I will forgive you if Job prays for you. See, Job interceded for his... God has a record of blessing the many because of the righteousness of a few. You know, God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah, that is those cities, and we don't know how big they were, could have been tens of thousands of people. God would have spared them. Who remembers the story? If he could have found how many righteous people? Five. If God could have found five righteous people in Sodom or Gomorrah, he would have spared the whole, both of the cities. Sadly, he couldn't find five. But you see, God has a record of blessing the many. God has a record of blessing a nation because of the actions of a righteous remnant. You see where I'm going with this, I'm sure, by now. You know, God spared Judah many, many generations because of a handful of good kings like Josiah and some others. There weren't a lot of good kings. There weren't a lot of righteous kings. But once in a while, a righteous king would grow up as a boy and became a man and became king, and God would withhold his hand of judgment on the whole nation because of the righteousness of a few kings. Now, please get this, and here's the point. God does not bless necessarily always because of the majority following him, because of the number of righteous people, but rather he blesses sometimes because of how righteous the remnant is.
Amen.
Can I have every child of God, please give me your attention. God might just continue to bless America if his people will stay righteous.
Amen.
You know, God doesn't expect the unsaved world to act like anything other than unsaved people. Right, we get that, right? God expects heathen to act like heathen. He expects unsaved people to act like... He expects lost people to act like lost people. But he expects his children to act like his children.
Amen.
And he said, I will spare the whole if the remnant will stay righteous and will live righteously. You know, America continue to be great if the remnant will continue to be good. Can I go back to that quote that I gave you earlier? When de Tocqueville said, America is great because America is good, I believe that God will continue to bless America if God's people will continue to be good.
Amen.
The righteous remnant can still bring the blessings of God to America. May I make it a little bit more practical? I believe that as long as there is a righteous remnant, God can still bless the whole. That means as long as there's a righteous remnant in Delaware, God could continue to bless this community that we live in.
Yeah.
Look, you say, well, but boy, we got bad leaders here, and we got bad leaders there, and we got a problem in this, and we got racism here, and we got this problem and that problem. Hey, none of that matters if the remnant of God's people, if the people of New Hope, maybe, and some other good churches in this area, if we will continue to live righteously, God could continue to bless this area. And do you not know that Delaware County is a blessed county? It's a blessed county. And it's not because the majority necessarily are righteous. But maybe God is saying, look, you don't worry about what's going on everywhere else. Make sure you're righteous. Make sure you're living the way you should live. So I can keep blessing you. I believe that God can continue to bless America if God's people will continue to humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. And He will continue. Again, He didn't say it had to be the whole country. Do you know if God's people will just do what God said? He said, if my people, He said, look, if the rest of America does terrible things, if the rest of America goes to pot, but God's people continue to humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, He will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That's what He said.
Amen.
You see what I mean? God has this record of this. He says, I want to bless the many. I think we all understand we're never going to get back some of the old days in America, are we? It's just not going to happen. But it doesn't have to for God to continue to bless America as long as we continue to do the right thing. As long as God will continue to bless, I believe, as long as we honor, as long as children, all the kids in the room, by the way, you kids are doing amazing. You are doing so, are they not? I am so impressed with you kids. You know that God will continue to maybe bless America as long as God's children, as long as the children who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ continue to honor their parents like He asked them to. He might just bless the whole country because of you honoring your parents, honoring our forefathers. He might just continue to bless if we continue to care for the helpless and the fatherless and the unborn. We don't have to worry about everything that's happening in America, but we need to make sure that the remnant continues to be righteous. I believe God would bless America if we continue to gather in churches and speak the truth from God's Word. Yes? What was it de Tocqueville said? He said the key was found in the churches. And it wasn't dynamic. Look, and we've had a very unusual service. Please know this is not what we normally do. You know, this has been fun, it's been celebratory, but the most important thing that we do around here and the thing that has always got to be the focus is sharing the truth.
Amen.
Preaching truth. Look, and it doesn't have to be popular. It doesn't have to be something designed to bring in just everybody. It has to be designed to be truth, because truth is what changes people. We need to preach that and let the chips fall where they may. And He said, that's what's going to make it great. And God will continue to bless if a remnant does that. And God, look, we can't fix everything that's broken. We can't fix everything that's broken in America, can we?
No.
Look, folks, I can't fix everything that's broken in me. How can I think I can fix everything that's broken in America? But what we can do is we can focus on being that righteous remnant that God wants us to be. I can't have any influence on other churches. That's not my business. But what I'm asking of us as people of New Hope, can we be the righteous remnant that we're supposed to be? So maybe when God looks down from heaven and says, Ohio may be going a bad direction, but Delaware doesn't have to.
Amen.
God has a record of that. For all of its flaws, though, this has always been about, today has always been about celebrating America. But if we're going to celebrate America, what we have to do is we have to celebrate the people who made it what it is.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that we had righteous men and women and boys and girls.
Amen.
Years ago that behaved themselves in such a way and carried the banner they carried and lived the way they did, so that even now, 230 plus years later, God is continuing to bless my America because of what they did.
Amen.
And because of what Harold and AJ's generation did, Bill and Tana's generation. And I need my generation to do it for your generation and your generation for Shade's generation. And that's how God's going to continue to bless America.
Amen.
Is if the righteous, the remnant will be righteous. I want to share one last thing with you before before we close out our service, before we actually go into an invitation, and this is something that I wrote just for today, and I hope that it will strike a chord somewhere with you. Would you please allow me to talk to you? There are certain things that we find only in America. On Main Street in any town across this land, a young girl holds onto her granddad's hand. Watching the parade on Independence Day, she sees Old Glory and looks up to say, "Grandpa, why is the flag always at the start? And why put your hand across your heart? And do they feel this way all over the world? Do they cry like you when the flag's unfurled?" And the old man just stares and says, "Only in America." In a rundown, metal-covered, rusted shack in a Dust Bowl war-torn village in Iraq, a young boy looks at his father's scarred face and asks if life is the same in every place. The tears run down his father's bearded cheek. He tries to answer but cannot speak. His son asks if there is a place where people go to find hope and life and where freedom grows. His father can only whisper, "Only in America." In a village somewhere in an African nation, a young girl hides from tribal invasion. If caught, she'll be taken as a prize, nothing but a plaything in a wicked man's eyes. She already suffered through barbaric ritual. Now she's just cattle, no longer individual. And at night, she wonders, is the world all so grim? Is there any place where girls have rights as men? She can't hear the answer, only in America. You see, in China and Iran, the dictator's guide, families, their little ones, try to hide because boys are just numbers and girls even less. Listen, a place without God, God cannot bless. The world's population stands near 8 billion. American calls citizens 300 million. Less than 5% of the world stands free. How is it that you and I have come to be the blessed ones born and living in America? But in America, we know very little of this. Freedom to us is like water to fish. When we live each day where liberty's planted, it's so easy to take that freedom for granted. Afghan children are orphaned by war. American children have much, yet want much more. We view our liberty like we view our air. But if it's taken away, will we then learn to care and wish we had valued living in America? In most parts of the world, it's not allowed to voice dissent about a government proud. Prison and death are prices to pay for government's control over what you say. But here we can march and protest and fight because of a gift called the Bill of Rights. We are free to speak, to condemn or brag, and some even choose to burn our beloved flag. Where can this happen? Only in America. Sometimes I wonder what people think who only know life on poverty's brink, where state-run media is all they hear, and from state-run mafia they live in fear. What would it be like to no longer yearn, to go to work and keep what they earn, to have freedom to worship the God they choose, a right they would likely fight not to lose? Amen. Where would they go if they could choose? Only to America. Perhaps we should all take a moment to pray and carefully consider the words that we say, for it's a privilege, not a right, to be a part of the greatest country with the greatest heart. Though it's not perfect and has its flaws, stand up for America and its worthy cause. Freedom is watched by Mount Rushmore's faces, and billions would gladly trade us places if they could just live only in America. Everything we have that's good here comes from our God. Amen. But He's given it to us through this nation. Can we be that righteous remnant? Children, all you children, could you be those right, those great kids that love God and serve God and live your life right, take care of your mom and dad, treat your parents right, treat the other adults in your life right? and grow up and share the good news that Jesus Christ loves them to the world around you. If you could do that, you could save your generation. Amen. Or you could at least hold off the judgment that is surely coming our nation. Could you do that? Teenagers, could every adult in the room, could we all just say, listen, He's my God, this is my America, and I'm going to live in such a way that He can continue to bless my America. And I'm not going to worry about what everybody else is doing. I'm going to worry about what I'm doing. I'm going to worry about how I'm living. I'm going to worry about how I talk. I'm going to worry about the things that I watch. I'm going to worry about how I treat my family. Could we do that, please? We're going to have an invitation. Would you stand with me, please?